Hi, I'm Carl, social media manager and veteran at BFBS. I recently caught up with veteran Aldo Kane and Declan Burley to talk about their brand new show, The Wild Ones, on Apple TV. They explore the six corners of the earth to save six endangered species from extinction. With crafty camera work and survival skills, the team race to find, record and protect these elusive creatures before it's too late. The first question I asked Aldo and Declan was what was the most difficult terrain, country and climate they had to handle while on their travels filming?
Well, obviously jungles in themselves are challenging, but I remember, so that just has its own thing, and I'm sure Aldo, you'll dive into that, but Mongolia, the heat was, it was brutal. It was like, and I run hot anyway, so I like it when it's just a bit cooler. And it was weird. It was like, you know, usually as the day goes on, it gets cooler. You know, back home, you know, it just gets cool. There, it just got hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And then until literally the sun went down, then it started to cool down. Then it got cold. And then as soon as the sun was back up again, it was just like brutal. I remember I'd just be like, just trying to find shade. And then when it was like right above you, and then you've got a camera in your face and they're like, right, say something, talk, do something. And you're just like, I can't even, you know, I'm melting here, man. And then as soon as there was a little shade, and this, it was incredible. The shade was so cold. So it was great once you could get in there. But yeah, so that was pretty. I didn't expect that. And yeah, and I think as well, like, you know, I like to chill. I like to laze and I'm not, you know, being active, but you just can't do it there. Like you can't jump in a hammock. You can't jump in your tent. It's just too hot. So you just, I remember one day I was just sitting there with my hat on, sung, and I was just like, just sitting there, like, just like, just when is this going to end? And it never did until we went home. So yeah, it was pretty. Yeah, Mongolia, as beautiful as it was when it was that hot, no wonder the bears don't come out in the day. It's just crazy.
The jungle for me was, you know, Malaysia was hard. It was former Royal Marines. So, you know, we spent a lot of time in the jungle over the years. I love it because it is so difficult. And I often say to people, if you can operate in the jungle, you can operate anywhere, because it's, you know, it's not just deadfall and animals and snakes and spiders. It's, you know, it's just, you know, personal hygiene, admin. And actually, like what we have been doing over the last 2 years is very similar to a small unit in the forces. You know, we've got a very small team, all highly trained, elite level at what we do, going in for, you know, the greater good of the purpose of, you know, these animals. So yeah, I think the jungle is probably the toughest.
Just constantly soaking wet, aren't you?
Yeah. And the rest. You have a wash and you're just sweating again. It's just,
for each of you, what animal did you find the most challenging to capture video and images of, or to even track?
I think it had to be tigers for me. That environment was brutal. Like it was just hills like that. You know, at least Mongolia, we could jump in cars every now and then. But in Malaysia, it was just everything was on your back. You had to walk everywhere, you know. And yeah, like them ridgelines were just absolute savage. And like, I'm not the fittest of men. So like every day I'd be like, oh, I've got to go up. And even the Rangers thought I was insane because they were like, we usually have days off. I was like, I can't have days off. I've got to get these cameras out. You know, I have to do it. So yeah, that was, I think that was, definitely the hardest. And then we got that shot of the tiger, which was in the snare. So that was just like, you know,
it was heartbreaking. Really gets
to, yeah, exactly. That breaks your heart. But then we get the magical shot at the end where we get the cubs. So it's like, that's why it was worth. That's why we did it. You know, that's why us as a team, we got up, we, you know, and the food out there was basic as anything, you know, it was like rice. I think I ate so many eggs one day. I just felt sorry for anyone who's standing behind me, but it was just, yeah, it was just like that. It was brutal, wasn't it, Aldo, that one?
Yeah, yeah. I think each animal had its own hardship, or, you know, the jungle's obviously hard to move around. The desert was hard. But I think for me, probably the tiger episode series, part of, you know, we did two or three trips there. And I think it was just, it was brutal landscape, it was brutal temperatures, it was rainy and wet, and they're very, very elusive animals. So I think that they were the trickiest ones for us to really film. And right up until the very end, we had nothing. Almost every camera, we had no tigers on. But I think that's what makes this series different to anything else that's out there, is that, it's not just showing nice shots of these animals, it's showing the hardship of the people and, the rangers, the national park guards, us on the ground, the scientists who are going out there day in, day out, risking their lives to, to protect these animals. And it's kind of like Warts and All. It's like, this is the front line, raw, uncut. This is what happens, in conservation in the world's most remote locations.
I think one thing that stuck out for me, even straight from the first episode, was like you went out there and what seemed like you had an abundance of time, but it didn't even seem like it was never enough. You're like, we're going in a day and we still haven't captured what we need to capture. And I can only imagine that's just so stressful because you're going out there with one task. I mean, it's a big task, but you're like time is not on your side at all. Thankfully for the technology of trap cameras, which I want to ask about the sheer amount of trap cameras you put out deck and the amount of time they're left for is incredible. How do you decide and what process do you follow to even begin to decide how many you're going to put out, where they're going to go, and are you quite sure of how long they're going to be left for?
With doing any remote camera work, you have to have a solid team. It's like a massive team effort. Like you could say I'm the ringleader, but at the end of the day, there's so many people helping me. I've got rangers, scientists, Aldo, V, anyone, people in production, whether it's carrying some gear for me, and we go out together, and it's almost like, and that's what I love about it. You really get to hang out with the local people. You get to hang out, you get to learn from them how you move through the forest, how you move through the desert, the mountains. You just absorb so much of their energy, and then it's about getting to a location, and then you can just feel it. You know whether there's scat marks there or there's prints, or you just feel, oh, this is a pinch point. This is a ridgeline. Like if I was to move through the forest, this is the way I'm going to go. So it's all of that. So that it all adds in. Like if you just sent me out there on my own, it would take me, I probably wouldn't be able to do it, but it would take me so much longer. You'd have to explore the, like even just when I walk around local woodlands, like you explore the whole thing and you might find a little fox den, if you're lucky. And then the next day you might find more. But so that's why when you go to these places, you need the experts, the boots on the ground, the people who are there. And without them, the job can't be done. So that's the biggest part. And then, yeah, it's just all on instinct. And when you rig up cameras, you have to use your environment around you, like, if there's a tree there, okay, I can rig off that tree. If there's a little tunnel, okay, yeah, I can rig. I can't do it here because I can't set up the triggers because there's no, you know what I mean? So you just got to, everything, the whole environment, everything, the way the sun moves through the sky, you got to think of that. So you're not setting off false triggers. So there's loads of little bits going on, which I've learned over the years. But yeah, it is always a massive team effort. You need everyone. Like, don't get me wrong, there's times where I love just being on my own, but I wouldn't have got to that point if someone didn't show me that location,
That's the thing, we're probably spending 60 or 70% of our time on location problem solving and fixing problems and dealing with stuff that we couldn't have planned for or prepared for. And there's a small amount of time things go well, and the rest of the time it's you're literally problem solving from the minute you get up to the minute you go to bed.
Aldo, for yourself, as a veteran, there was things I noticed you were doing which I have not seen since I was in the army, or even when I do my job day to day working with soldiers. And one of them was the talking of your feet in the field, in the jungle, which I know our viewers are absolutely going to love. Is there anything that you is there any processes you follow when doing this job that you do now with when you were a soldier?
Like every environment that we operate in, on this series, the basics of how I've learned to not just survive but thrive in those environments comes from my military training in the Royal Marines. I did my first jungle training in Malaysia when I was 19. And the stuff that I'm doing and sometimes teaching deck is stuff that, I learned, 25 years ago. But really, it's the same, and your listeners and viewers will know the same, is that it's about, we're not just going to the place as your guys are to survive. That's like a third of the job. We have to go to there and thrive, and then operate, and then get the cameras out, day in, day out for 3 weeks at a time, and not get ill, not get sick, not get galloping crotch rot from bad admin, or eating bad food, or putting your hammock in the wrong place. So a lot of the stuff that I use on a daily basis now is exactly what I was taught. It's discipline, it's routine, it's admin. And when you get all those small bits of basics done well, then that allows you to flourish and to do your job.
So I think it's clear how passionate you are about these animals. So I'm not going to ask you to pick your favorite, because it'd be like picking your favorite child.
Thank you. I appreciate
But
that.
what I will ask is, was there any animal that stuck out to you that when you finally got sight of it, that you were mesmerized by the most or had a strong connection with?
It's a bear, isn't it? It's got to be, right? Wherever I go in the world, I'm always called a bear. Aldo called me it. But yeah, the bear, yeah, there's something about, I just love bears. I've always wanted to like use my camera trap knowledge to film bears, and that was the first time I got to do it, was for the Gobi. And it's definitely got the shortest straw of all brown bears. It's that the it's brutal out there. Like, it's so brutal the way that bear has to try to survive. And then now you might have this added pressure of this road. And I remember when we first started talking about this road, I was like, well, it's a road, like, you might be able to get through it. That's just because I was so naive about it. And then when you see the footage of the road and like another road further away, and how many, and it would just cut straight through its heartland, it'd be brutal. So yeah, I definitely had a bit of a connection for the bears for sure.
I think mine was probably the whale, North Atlantic right whale, because the rest of them we're seeing on camera trap footage, and we're maybe 6 hours behind the tiger or whatever, or we're a day behind the animals. The whale, we were actively involved in saving its life in the moment. It was fatally wrapped in fishing gear. I've spent a lot of time diving with whales over the years, and when you are face to face with a whale, that is a sentient being. And to see it wrapped, fatally wrapped in fishing gear and ghost nets was pretty brutal. And so I think we, speaking for the three of us and everyone that was on the production, we were all involved in that. We were all invested in it, because this whale, we lost it for 2 or 3 days with, and we thought, it was definitely going to die if there was no human intervention. And to then be involved, actively involved in freeing it, from the ghost nets and watching it swim off was a pretty special moment.
So this time last week, I was in the jungle in Southeast Asia, and I was at the Jungle Warfare School filming the troops on the jungle instructors course. And I asked them all, I asked as many as I could, if there was one piece of kit that you would recommend to bring to the jungle to get by, what would it be? So my question to both of you is, including everywhere you've been, what's the one piece of kit you brought that you are glad, or you felt was essential, or was that bit of comfort?
Oh, it's a good one.
It's a
I
good one.
think for me, in having spent 30 years working in extreme environments, I think the first thing that I have is a mindset that, and it's not a bit of kit, but it's a mindset and a will to survive and a will to be able to do the thing, because more often than not, what we're doing is hard work. It's not glamorous. Nobody sees the early starts, the hard graft. So I would say the mindset is the most important. And then for me, going in the jungle, it's a machete or a parang. That's probably what most of your guys said.
Yeah, it was a machete and really good dry bags. What about yourself, Dick?
I don't know. Obviously, I haven't got that background. So the first
Yeah,
thing that comes
pants.
to my head was something where I could just play music off. I need my tunes. I need my tunes. I can't go. Yeah, I've never been without music, and I always feel like if I ever did, yeah, I think I'd go
Yeah,
insane.
slippery slope, mate.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. Forget about the mindset, mate. I'd be in a hole trying to. I'll try and make some music. I don't know, but yeah, it's something like that. I think yeah, I need it. You know, there's I love talking to people. I love being with people, but I also love just sneaking off and putting my headphones in and just escaping that noise for a moment.
So, for both of you, over the entire series, what would you say was the biggest challenge you had to face personally?
I think it was, ultimately it was the attrition of so many trips back to back. Kind of took its toll. I had a kid halfway through filming as well, so I got home from Armenia and had a kid the next day. My wife had a kid the next day, and then we're at home for 10 more days, and then we're off to Mongolia for 6 weeks. So it was like it's a brutal schedule, and you're kind of having to re-roll your entire head. You're coming out of the jungle, and then you're going to the vast plains of Mongolia, and having to like sort of re-roll the mode you're in. So it's probably that and the malaria. I got malaria in Malaysia, and I think that that wiped the floor with me for a good couple of months. I was pretty knackered after that.
Oh, mate, sorry to hear that. That sounds brutal.
So it's my own bad admin.
Yeah, terrible admin there, mate. Terrible.
Yeah.
I don't. I was. It's the same, you know. It's that fatigue thing, you know. Like towards the end of Gabon, which was our last shoot, we were all beat, you know. Like, but yet we had to have that energy, you know. We had to have that, you know. We're there for a reason, you know. And it was just trying to, you know. I remember there were some days I felt like I was just moving through water, you know. It was just so like. Just knackered, and then you know when your feet are lazy, you know that's when you're going to fall over and do yourself some mischief. And so it was just that. I think towards the end, it just felt like, yeah, trying to keep that energy, but like also just trying to not hurt yourself, not get too sick. And luckily, I didn't. Usually, I get all sorts of things going wrong with me, so I got quite lucky. On, I don't think I got sick. I think maybe the end of Armenia on the way out, I got some sickness, but other than that, I was quite lucky.
That's the golden ticket, really, isn't it? Coming back.
Yeah.
What showed in the show was between both you and Vinay was like there was a strong chemistry and bromance, which I loved, and there was banter there, and there was a lot of ripping each other, which I really liked. And it's clearly it's genuine. And outside of the show, do you keep in contact? Are you planning on working together on other stuff?
I think that's not speaking out of turn for deck, but I think that's the key to these things is, and it's you'll know from the military, is that oftentimes you're in really hard places doing hard jobs, and the only thing that gets you through that is banter, ribbing people, you know, like that sort of humor. And even though we're doing a serious job, you know, as the military is, there's always time for that. And it's actually, you know, morale is a force multiplier. You know, you can be in the worst place, in the worst weather, at the worst time, but if you have a bit of banter and camaraderie, then you can graft through it.
Absolutely. It's always at the darkest time as well, isn't it, that it multiplies the most. So finally, I feel like Deck, for this next bit, Vinay's dropped you in it here by not being able to make it, unfortunately, but I wanted to teach you some military slang.
Okay. Okay, here we go.
I'll tell you what the words are, and then you can tell me what you think they mean, and then maybe Aldo can help if you're
Okay.
struggling.
Yeah,
This will
sounds
be
good,
good to
isn't
see what you've
it?
picked
Yeah,
up
let's
over
do
the
it. That
years.
sounds good.
So the first one is hoofing.
Hoofing, on the move, walking around, like going for a hike or something. Hoofing it, running away.
Is you would describe something as excellent or amazing.
Oh wow. Okay, I was well out.
Quite
Okay.
common in the
Yeah.
Marines, if I'm right, Aldo. That's
Yeah,
hoofing.
hoofing.
I was going to say giving someone a kick, a hoof, but yeah, hoofing.
If something's good, it's hoofing.
Yeah, that's
Absolutely.
cool.
So here's one. This one is, I think, an easy one, but badminton.
get malaria when you shouldn't be going in.
Bad admin and get malaria, absolutely.
Admin, yeah.
Bad admin of organisation skills. So the next one is Scran.
Oh, I know that one. Your food, man.
Food,
he taught me that as well. I even say that now.
Yeah,
or scoff if you're in from the army like me.
Yeah.
So the next one is Ali.
Ali.
A-L-L-Y. Ali is the word to describe how cool someone is or how cool they look or they're equipped.
Oh, okay. Okay. Ali. So you're looking
for... You have to definitely look in Ali in the team.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
And the last one, Daysack.
That's your bag, right? What you bring in, you're going out and about in. Don't get caught out at night with that. You've got to have everything.
Yeah. That's the one. Can you wear it at night? That's the... So to summarise, I thoroughly enjoyed the show. As I say, it's so wholesome.
Cheers, man. Really appreciate it.
I know your listeners will, you know, what Deck and INV and, you know, everyone who made this hopes is that we inspire people to take action. And I know that your listeners and viewers especially have a skill set that they can offer in conservation around the world. And that's, you know, if someone's getting to the end of their career jobs, there are plenty of organizations around the world that could benefit hugely from that military experience in all fields of conservation and protection.
The Wild Ones is available to stream on Apple TV right now.
BFBS, the Forces Station.